Hey, good morning, church. It is good. It is good for us to be here. Thankful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Thankful to be in your presence and, of course, in the presence of the Almighty God. I have a couple of ministries that we just need to highlight even before we begin our study of God's Word. The first one, it speaks to Boulevard Online. Good morning to you wherever you're watching around the world. Today, we kicked off a brand new interactive online class for our online audience, for our online church. It is being led by John Magnuson and Abby Rosser. It is an interactive class on the book of Luke, eventually getting to the book of Acts. And so if you're ever perhaps not in assembly and you want to be part of an interactive class, log on and you can be part of that. You can also be part of our auditorium class. We're building and building and building our online campus because we have people around the world who call this their church home. And we want to give them every single thing that we get a chance to experience by being here physically. We want them to be able to experience all of those wonderful things virtually. So if you missed online class this morning, make sure you join us next week at 9:30 a.m., same time as Bible class here. A second ministry I want to highlight is our Ignite College ministry. Over the past week, they held an event on the campus of MTSU. It was called Taste the Movie Night, all right? And so what that was, it was an outdoor movie on a big inflatable screen, and whatever they ate in the movie, they ate in person. And so the movie was How to Train Your Dragon. And so whatever they ate in that movie, grapes and cheese and bread and meat, we couldn't serve dragon, so we served chicken, they ate there. And so over 100 college students showed up there on the campus of MTSU. It was a wonderful, wonderful, absolutely. They are doing a great thing, so special shout out to Emily Lilly and Dawson Perkins and all of our student leaders who helped to plan that event and bless students from the campus of MTSU. Hopefully we're going to have a blessing today. I do believe that we are through the Word of God. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I want you to meet me in the book of Genesis. We go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 12 is where we are going to be today. Our series title is Origin Story, where we've been looking at the origin story of the Bible, the origin story of all mankind, the origin story of sin, and the origin story of judgment, the origin story where we're able to see God's grace. But the subtitle of this series is really apropos for what we're going to talk about today. It's a journey. We're going to see the journey of one man. It's a journey of faith of one man, a journey of faith that begins when God started talking to him. There have been times in my life, and you might share in this with me, where I wished that I had God talking to me. And I mean like a direct conversation that I might have human to human, where I might say something and then God, he would respond right back in real time. Don't know if you've ever felt like that. I have. Where I was going through something, maybe a low moment where I wanted to talk to God and I wanted to hear from him right away. Maybe there was a decision that needed to be made. Maybe I was at a crossroads in life and I needed to talk to God and I wanted him to respond right back. But I've often wondered, even if God did respond to me in real time like that, would I be ready for what God had to say? Well, ready or not, there's a man in the text, and his name is Abram. God later changed it to Abraham. Ready or not, God is going to start speaking to him. And Abram is going to do exactly what God has called him to do. But here's what you're going to see. You're going to see maybe a pattern for your life, a brand new pattern for your life when you realize how God has already been speaking to you. And when you grasp the idea that he's been speaking to you, let's do what we see Abram doing in this text. It's going to call us to do something different. It's going to maybe call us to move from a comfortable place to a place that we have to get used to the discomfort. But it's going to call us to be obedient to our God. So we're going to call this lesson from Genesis chapter number 12, we're going to call it When God Starts Talking. And when God starts talking, there's something that we need to start doing. And we're going to see it here in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. We're going to study this verse by verse, and we're going to hear what God has to say to us this morning. But because the Word of God is living, powerful, active, and can change our lives, we want to handle it correctly. So let's pray to God that he might bless our time in his word and before his presence. Lord, we're thankful for the day that you have given us. Lord, we're thankful that we get to enjoy your mercies, which have renewed again this morning. We are thankful that we are able to join together with fellow believers of Jesus Christ to encourage one another, to sing songs of praise to you, because you have been so good to us. Father, your goodness is seen in your word. We know that you have been speaking to us for generations through your word, and we pray that at least one more time here this morning that you would speak to us again through Genesis 12, that you might help us to see and hear and understand what it is you have for all of us individually and collectively. Father, help us understand how to move when we hear your voice. Father God, quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, remove distractions, prepare our hearts to receive what you want to pour into us today. Might our time in your word be a blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Let us say amen. Here's verse number 1. Again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Here at the very beginning of this chapter, we are introduced to the two main characters of this passage of Scripture. We meet, once again, the Lord God, the same God that we have been speaking about from the beginning of Genesis. This is the God who made and created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who created mankind and the beasts and the creatures and all the creeping things. This is the God who has ruled and given mankind instruction. This is the God who understood how mankind would fail in carrying out his instruction. This is the God who saw and witnessed that sin was birthed into the world, but this was also the God who created judgment to speak against and to push against that sin. This is the God who allowed the flood to come on the earth. This is the God who allowed the earth to be replenished. This is the God that we meet again in the text. But we also meet a man by the name of Abram. Abram doesn't come to us out of the blue. We first read of Abram in Genesis chapter number 11, where we understand that this man, Abram, was a descendant of one of Noah's sons by the name of Shem. We read that Abram had a father. His daddy's name was Terah. And they were from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, which tells us a little bit about Abram's background. Because Ur of the Chaldeans was the center of pagan worship. They worshipped the pagan moon god Nana in Ur of the Chaldeans. So Abram's life would have been impacted by this. Abram's father was a pagan. This man, Abram, that you're reading, was a pagan. And they're living in a pagan land. We know this because Joshua tells us in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 2, beginning in verse number 2, "And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods." Here's what we know by reading this and understanding that God has started speaking to him, that there's no place where God's voice can't find you. And there's no person on earth whom God's voice cannot reach. If God can reach a pagan living in a pagan land and have something for that pagan to do, then God's voice can reach our ears. His voice can reach the ears of both sinner and saint. But the question is, when God starts talking, will you be listening? Abram, thank you. Abram was listening. I got one. As long as I got one, I'm happy. And it doesn't matter how old you are. I just need one. All right. Amen. I'm glad you are. Praise God for that. Abram hears something from God. He hears one word that really changes the rest of his life. He hears the word, go. I want you to go. And I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your kindred. And I want you to go to a place that I am going to show you. It's not hard to really understand what God means when God says go. The expectation is that you're going to move from one place and go and be transferred to another place. See, go, when God says go, he's calling you to something, or he's calling you away from something. In the case of Abram, I'm calling you away from your father's house, from your kindred, and I'm calling you to a place that I am going to show you. See, for all of us here in this auditorium today and those who are online, God might indeed be calling you to something. Or he may be calling you from something. Might be calling you from a lifestyle. Might be calling you from sin. Might be calling you to salvation. Calling you to grace. Calling you to a blessing that you can't even imagine right now. But in order to answer that call, Abram is going to have to leave something that he knew. To leave his father's house, his kindred. It's what he's known. It's what he's known all of his life. It's a comfortable place. It might not be really working for him, but at least it's comfortable. He's going to have to leave emotional ties. Spiritual ties, a spiritual tie that had him in paganism. God says, I want you to go and I want you to leave that. I'm calling you away from that, as comfortable as that might have been. Was it wrong? Yes, but it still was comfortable. Again, if he's calling you to something or away from something, you might have to leave something that is currently comfortable. Doesn't mean it's working for you. It just means it's comfortable. Some of you are at a point in your life right now that it's not a good place in life, but you've learned it. It's comfortable for you. You're going to have to leave that. You might be at a space in your life where you're not really flourishing professionally, spiritually, relationally, emotionally. You might not be flourishing in that, but you've learned it. It's become a pattern. It's become part of your life. You're comfortable, but in order to really leave that, you've got to get comfortable with the discomfort that you might have to go through. And that's difficult. It's difficult because we value comfort. Abram may be comfortable, but God doesn't seem overly concerned with Abram's comfort. He's calling him anyway. Because God values something else. He values obedience. We value comfort. God values obedience. It's not that he doesn't care, but he cares more that you are obedient to him. And so something might just have to be disrupted for you to fully encompass all that God has in store for you. In order to get something different, you've got to do something different. In order to have what you've never had, you've got to do some things you've never done. And for Abram, he's going to have to leave father's house, leave his kindred, leave that which is comfortable, and go to a place that God says, I will show you. Now, let's be honest. If God started talking to you and he told you that you needed to go to a land, a place that he would eventually show you, we would pause. We would have more questions. What do you mean you're going to show me? Well, when are you going to show me? You want me to take all that I have and go to this land? Is it supposed to just be me? Am I supposed to take some others? God, how are you going to provide for me in this land? Or when I get to this land, is it dangerous there? Are there certain provisions, certain things that I need to do right now? We would have question after question after question after question. Quite likely, we might resist. But Abram doesn't. Abram doesn't resist. And the text will show us Abram doesn't ask one single question of God. He's just going to have to trust God. Take God at his word. That I'm going to show you once you start walking. In other words, God says, you have to go before I show. You've just got to take the step. Maybe you've seen this before, that there have been some questions you might have had about a step that you were convinced that God wanted you to take. And those questions really didn't begin to be answered until you actually took the step. Because, church, that's how faith works. In matters of faith, understanding often follows obedience. So if you want the questions answered, take the step. If you want full revelation, just go with God. Abram, he does. Now, the thing the text doesn't tell us, even if we understand the context, is not how Abram knew about God in the first place. We don't understand. We don't know how much about God Abram even knew. Yet God started talking to him. And Abram is about to take God at his word, even though he doesn't know all that much about God, even though he doesn't have all the answers. So I'm telling you this, because if someone like Abram, a pagan, living in a pagan land, who doesn't know all that much about God, if he can go and take God at his word, why can't we? Here's how I know he took God at his word. Well, the text shows us. But before the text lays out exactly what he did, God told him something else. Something else that might help Abram make his decision. He told him the benefits of obeying him. So think about the God that you serve. God doesn't just speak commands. He also tells of the benefits behind obeying those commands. And here are the benefits. Here are the blessings that God promises Abram when he starts talking to him. He gives him 7 blessings. Not just one, not two, but 7 blessings. Blessings of obedience. Here's what I mean. See verse number 2 and 3. He says to him, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Promise number one, God says, if you go, you take me at my word, and you go, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. People, a nation, are going to come from you. Now, in order for Abram to truly believe this, he's going to have to learn to see the impossible, to see what isn't currently there, to see the words of God coming to fulfillment through his faith. Because Abram is an old man. He is of an age where children, a nation coming from him, would be unfathomable. Not only that, but the woman that he is married to, Sarai, she is barren. They have had no children. And now God is saying, if you take me at my word, I am going to do something that you probably believe is impossible because of who God is. He's an impossibility specialist. There is nothing that's too hard for God. And when God starts talking to you and he starts calling you to something and he starts telling you he wants you to leave something or go to something, understand the God that's called you to that, he can do anything. But if that were the first and only promise, that would be enough. But God says, I'm going to give blessing on top of blessing, on top of blessing, on top of blessing. If you take me at my word, I'm going to bless you so much that the blessings are going to come to your life in a way that you won't even see all of the blessings fulfilled. I'm going to make of you a great nation. But number two, I'm going to make your name great. In a time before there were what we would call influencers, God is promising Abram, I'm going to make you an influencer. I'm going to make your name great. It was the very thing that those who tried to build the Tower of Babel were trying to do for themselves, to try to make for themselves a great name. But God, he confused the language, but here he's straightening it out, and he says to Abram, I'm the one who's going to do it. It's not something that you're going to do for yourself. I am going to make your name great. And here we are, thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, still talking about Abram. God has fulfilled and is fulfilling that promise. But number three, he says, I'm going to bless you. And it's not a blessing that would simply be for you, but I'm going to bless you so that you would be a blessing. And that's promise number four. You're going to be a blessing. You're about to see the multiplicative power and property of God's blessing. I'm going to bless Abram. I'm going to not only bless Abram, but I'm going to allow him to be a blessing to some others. But then God says, I'm going to step in blessing number five, or promise number five, and bless those who bless you. So I'm not the only one's going to give a blessing. Some others are going to actually bless you if you take me at my word. If you just go, I'm going to make sure that they bless you. And then when they bless you, I'm going to bless them. And I'm going to protect your blessing so much. Promise number six, I'm going to curse those who try to take your blessing away. I'm going to say, it's not going to happen. They're going to feel it if they try to take your blessing away. Because I'm leading to the last, seventh, and greatest blessing of them all. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. And by the time those who are originally reading this are reading it, children of Israel, they were the ones who were blessing the earth at that time. God was fulfilling his promise through them. As they're reading this, they're understanding, oh man, God's using us to do this. We're part of God's plan. We're part of God's promise. And when you read this, you should feel the same thing, because God is blessing the earth today through the church, through your life. Your life is a fulfillment of the promise God made to Abram thousands of years ago. Amen. Praise God for that. Yes. That we get a chance to be part of this story. Your life is woven here. But it's also woven in the fact that God might be calling you to something. Might be calling you away from something. If you just take him at his word, then you will see the multiplicative properties of God's blessing over your life. So what do you do when you hear God talking? Well, what does Abram do? Verse number 4 says, so Abram went, as the Lord had told him. He doesn't ask a question. He just goes. We don't read of him sitting and pondering. He just goes. We don't see him weighing the pros and cons. We just see him going. We don't see him bringing folks in and say, hey, what do you think about this, that, or the other? He just goes at God's word. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8 says, by faith Abraham, that is Abram or Abraham, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Quite likely you've never left any place to go to a place and you didn't know where you were going. You're just out driving, or you're just out walking, and you didn't have a destination in mind. Abram didn't know what the destination was. All he knew was God said, go, and that I will show you where you are to go. When God starts talking, church, you've got to start walking in faith. Once you realize, and I'm going to show you how to realize how God or a way in which God is talking and still speaking to you today, you've got to start walking in faith. But it's a process. It's a process that doesn't come without its complications. Abram's life is complicated. It's not easy. It's not a simple thing for him to just leave everything and go. So don't read into it that he's just free and he can just pick up and just, no, it's complicated. Because oftentimes when God calls us to something, he calls us even within the complications of our lives. He knows your life comes with complications. It comes with ties. It comes with people. It's difficult to make certain decisions. It would have been difficult for Abram. Here's what the text says. It says in verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. But watch this. And Lot went with him. Lot is his nephew who is living with Abram and his wife. Well, we got to take Lot with us if we're going. Lot went with him. It was complicated. I told you, Abram wasn't a young man. He was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And it's complicated. He had his wife with him. And Lot, his brother's son, has already been mentioned. And their possessions that they had gathered. They're taking everything with them. It's complicated. And it's not just them. But we read, and the people that they acquired in Haran. They set out to go ultimately to the land of Canaan. So they take their servants with them. It's a multitude of people. This couldn't have been an easy decision. It wouldn't have been easy for me. God understood the complications of Abram's life, yet he called him anyway to go. Leave what you have. Leave your father's house. Leave your kindred, your kinfolks. Leave what's comfortable. Take them all, as complicated as it might be, and go to a land that I'm going to get around to showing you. See, it's a process. So we begin the process by walking in faith. But when God starts talking, we must also continue to walk in faith. Abram's life is going to be full of ups and downs. It's going to be full of challenges. It's going to be full of kidnappings and battles, opportunities to tell the truth, opportunities to lie. It's going to be full of all of those things. Times when he has to wrestle with his faith, but he has to continue on walking in faith based upon what God has told him. And so he does. So he does. In verse number 6, we read that Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, this is an important part, that there were Canaanites in the land. The land was already occupied. The land that God was going to give them, or him, and to his people, it was already occupied by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." I know it's already occupied, but I'm going to take care of that. You just have to continue to walk with me. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. What you're reading about is Abram starts claiming a land as his, a land that's currently occupied by someone else. In order to do that, he has to see what's in his future. Even though it might be hard to see, he has to see it through faith. He has to see and learn to see the impossible through faith based upon the one who has spoken this to him. Your God, he can do the impossible in your life. And you've got to have faith that he can do the impossible in your life, what you don't think he can currently do, what the situation you might find yourself currently in. God has the power to deal with the situation no matter what it is because of who he is. But you've got to see it as if it's already there. Abram sees it as if it's already there, and so he builds an altar because he realizes, because of who said it, the only thing I can do now is just worship. There's going to be a time, a long period of time, between promise and fulfillment. But in the meantime, what do? You worship. When God starts talking, you start worshiping. You're going to see a promise and promises that he's issued to you directly. And from the time that he issues the promise and the time that he fulfills the promise, here's what we have to learn to do. We worship God anyway. Because we know he is going to fulfill the promise. It might not happen in the way in which we might imagine in our mind. There might be rough spots that we have to go through in order to get there. But we realize all things work together for good for those who love God. Those who are called according to his purpose. Those who have heard the voice of God over their life, we can always worship. Amen. Not just through the songs that we sing, but we worship through the obedience of our lives and the surrender of our lives. True spiritual worship, Paul says, that's us giving ourselves wholly unto God, trusting him and obeying him. Abram does it. So what have you seen? You've seen God start talking to Abram. He said, "Go." We have seen Abram walk in faith. We have seen Abram continue to walk in faith. We have seen Abram worship when God has started talking in the in-between. And you might say, okay, I get that. I get it. If God starts talking, I will start walking. If God starts talking, I will walk in faith. If God starts talking, you might say, I get how I should and can worship. But I don't know how that switched without me clicking it, but it did, you know. Something's going on, man. But here's the question. How will I know when God has started talking to me? That's the question that we want answered. We get the other stuff. So how are we to determine the very voice of God? I'm going to show you a very simple way. It's not hard. It's not rocket science to know how you will know when God has started talking. What it will take from you is to realize this truth. God already has been talking. It's nothing that you have to wait for. It's just something that you need to learn to see. Because he already has been. What do you mean? God has been talking all along through Jesus. I say that because of what Scripture tells us. Here's what the Hebrew writer says. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, the days that we live in, he has spoken to us by his Son. Not just speaks to us, but has spoken to us. Meaning, he has already been speaking. Whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. See, the God that you're reading about in the book of Genesis, the Hebrew writer says, the creator of all of those things is God. Not just God the Father, but God the Son. He has created the heavens and the earth. He has created you. He is King Jesus. And Jesus, your King, has been speaking to you. Last week, we celebrated, and we still celebrate today, the idea, the fact that Jesus got up from the grave, meaning that Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is alive, that means that God's promises are still alive. It means that he is still speaking to you today. Because the tomb is empty, we know his voice is still being heard. Amen. And because Jesus is alive, God can still speak his promises. And he's still speaking his promises to you today through Jesus. And when God issues a promise to you through Jesus, here's what you have to know. You got to know it's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, Paul says it like this. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. So if you're wondering, are these promises going to come true, the promises that have been issued through Jesus? Paul says they find their yes in him. It's through him that we utter our amen to God, our so let it be. If God issues the promise and that promise is spoken to you and it's spoken by his will and it's spoken by his living word, Jesus, you can already just go ahead and say amen. Because it's going to happen. For 2,000 years, here's what God has been saying to the world. Three words. Listen to Jesus. Because if you learn to listen to him, and you learn to take the steps that he's calling you to, you take the steps into the blessings. So when you feel the weight of life, listen to Jesus. When you're trying to make a decision, listen to Jesus. When you're at a low point in your life and you need encouragement, listen to Jesus. That's what God is calling you to. He's talking to you now. Listen to Jesus. When you're dealing with relationship issues, listen to Jesus. When you don't know what to do about your money issues, listen to Jesus. All of those promises that he gives you through Jesus, they find their yes in him. When you're anxious, God's saying, listen to Jesus. Some of you are anxious this morning. Listen to Jesus. Well, what's Jesus have to say? Matthew chapter number 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? God takes care of everything. He's going to take care of you. Listen to Jesus. You're having money issues, trying to understand what to do about money. Listen to Jesus. Jesus says these words, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't worry about the things and trying to gain more and more upon this earth. Moth and rust destroy. Thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Instead of focusing so much on these earthly things, focus on heavenly things. God will take care. When you're trying to understand priorities in life, what do I do? What things should be important? Listen to Jesus. Matthew 6 and verse number 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things, these physical things that you're worried about, he'll add to you. When you're dealing with your burdens and your problems, what do I do with my burdens and problems? Listen to Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me and learn of me. Here's what you're going to find, I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You're burdened, you're troubled, but you're going to find rest for your souls. Listen to Jesus. When it comes to having a relationship with God, how do I grow closer to God? What should I do? Listen to Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you're wondering about salvation, what must I do to be saved? What should I do? You should listen to Jesus, who said in Mark 16 and 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. What does that mean for your life? Here's what it means. With promises like these, you can walk through life in faith. Because the one who promised you this is the one who created everything. He's the guarantee. He lived, he died, he was buried. He did something no one else could do. He got up from the grave. And the tomb is still empty. He's telling you, amen, amen, and amen. Abram journeyed, though. Here's how the passage ends. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. He journeyed onward. And that's what you have to do this morning. You know that he's spoken to you through Jesus. He continues to speak to us through Jesus. He continues to speak to us through his word. But you got to hold that. You got to believe that. And you've got to journey on. No matter what life might throw you, you've got to journey on. Knowing that the God who's made you promises in the past is with you in the present. And he'll fulfill his promises in the future. He doesn't guarantee what Abram's physical life will be like. He just calls him to take him at his word. He doesn't guarantee what your life is going to be like. But you've got to take him at his word. Abram walked in faith, knowing he had heard from God. When God starts talking, he started walking. He's talking to you. He's calling you. And you got to walk towards him. There's one thing I want you to remember. It's this. God is speaking. He's still speaking through Jesus to you. There's something to obey. Walk in faith. Just walk in faith. Take him at his word. How do we apply this? Always be prepared to listen to the voice of God, to move to the voice of God, and to worship God for all that he is. What do we do when God starts talking? We start walking in faith. We trust and obey. Let's stand and sing.